This is 90.9 WBUR in Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins. Some 3 million Americans have had total hip replacement surgery. It's a life-changing cure for crippling and painful arthritis. One of the preeminent figures in the field is a Boston doctor named Bill Harris. He was chief of joint replacement surgery at Mass General Hospital for 30 years. In the 1960s, hip replacement was considered the operation of the century. But in the 1970s, a medical complication arose that threatened the future of the procedure. Dr. Harris then became Detective Harris as he tried to find out what was going wrong. Harris is now 90 years old, and he's just published a book about this medical mystery. It's called Vanishing Bone. WBUR's Carrie Goldberg spoke with Harris about the disease and how it was cured.
The year was 1974. Surgeons had been performing total hip replacements for more than a decade.
Total hip replacement is an absolutely magnificent operation, and we were able to do remarkable things to restore mobility and relief of pain and the joy of life.
Dr. Bill Harris was sent a patient, a famous lawyer from San Francisco, who had a mystifying condition. His hip replacement surgery had worked, but now something was going badly awry.
I had never seen anything like this before. The bone around his prosthesis, around his total hip, had been completely destroyed. It was just astonishing. And I thought it had to be cancer.
But under the microscope, there was no cancer, no recognizable disease of any kind. It was something stranger. The area was swarming with immune cells that clear away debris. They were stimulating production of another kind of cell called an osteoclast, or bone eater.
And it was actively and aggressively eating the bone.
Harris and his colleagues were baffled.
What in the world is this disease, and how does it come about? Why is it there?
The question became even more urgent, because before long, this bone-eating disease struck thousands of patients, and then hundreds of thousands. The longer people had their replacement hips, the more chance their bones would vanish. Sometimes bones became so weak, just walking could make them snap. The disease had a name, periprosthetic osteolysis. By 1990, it was the number one cause of total hip replacement surgery failure. As Bill Harris and his colleagues became medical detectives, they focused first on the glue that attaches the artificial hip joint to the patient's own bone. It's called bone cement. Maybe tiny bits of bone cement were causing the bone-eating cells to go on the attack. So Harris and other researchers devised techniques to replace hips without using bone cement, and they figured they'd solved the problem.
Only to find, when I reviewed my first 100 cases of my own design of a cementless total hip replacement, bingo, the very same disease.
So, bad news, but they were on the trail. The problem wasn't just the bone cement. They realized that tiny particles of plastic from the artificial hip joint itself were causing the bone to vanish. But why? When Harris and his team examined replacement hips that patients had bequeathed to the lab after their death, they found a major clue.
We found that the actual process of walking had modified the polyethylene.
The hips were made of a special polyethylene plastic. Its molecules are extraordinarily long and narrow, like spaghetti. In their usual state, the molecules have no organization, like a bowl of spaghetti with strands going in all different directions. But in the hips of these deceased patients, it looked different.
We found that all of the strands of the polyethylene were lined up in a row. The polyethylene molecules had been changed in their position. They'd been modified by the fact that gait simply goes back and forth and forth and back.
And that lines them up.
And that lines them up.
So the process of walking was restructuring the plastic in a way that made it wear down. And as it wore down, it released those particles that were causing the problem. Dr. Harris turned to an old friend, Ed Merrill, professor emeritus of polymer chemistry at MIT. He asked whether Merrill could figure out how to stop the strands of plastic from lining up.
He said, sure. And I said, I love it. How are you going to do it?
MIT's Ed Merrill did it by using a process called cross-linking. It connects one strand of the polymer to the next and makes the material more resilient. Merrill suggested cross-linking the plastic in the artificial hips by using an electron beam.
And remarkably, the first time we did this, it produced a remarkable improvement in the durability of the piece. Playing around with an electron beam at 3 million electron volts, it's not a trivial matter.
The team did run into a few problems at first, Harris says.
The most striking of these was that it exploded. Sometimes it just caught fire, and at other times it simply melted. But clearly we were in a difficult spot.
The problem was too much energy. They slowed down the electron beam so it wouldn't overcook the plastic. Then they tested the material in a special machine, a hip simulator, that had taken them 3 years to perfect.
We could detect no wear at all. Zero wear. It made it almost perfect.
Finally, in 1998, the first patient got a hip made of the new, more resilient polyethylene plastic.
And there are probably now 7 million people around the world walking on this material in total hips and in total knees. The disease is virtually gone.
Dr. Harris says the story illustrates how contemporary medical science works, the complexity involved, the collaboration it takes, the persistence it requires. The story also reflects how treating patients can add extra motivation for doctors to do their own research.
I love taking care of patients, and I loved going to the operating room. But I also hate failure. And my own failures in the operating room would lead me to say, let's take this failure up to the laboratory and see if we can't unscramble it, unlock it, and find a way to do it better.
At age 90, Bill Harris hasn't needed that better way himself. He's still walking on his own original hips. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Goldberg.